This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Tuesday, May 10th. Well, we had a disappointing trade in wheat yesterday where we started out higher, in fact, put in new highs for the move, but couldn't hang on to those gains and ended up reversing lower. Corn and soybeans were leading the complex lower too. They never really saw much of positive territory, and they just continued to leak lower, continuing the pressure that we saw from last week. Soybeans are in the weaker position as they've really started to see some acceleration to the downside. But we're pretty close to testing the lows from early April in soybeans. And in corn too, we've kind of, we've taken out a minor swing low that was put in late April. But for wheat, we're just pacing sideways. Again, we did put in a new high for this move and then ended up reversing down. In Kansas City, we stalled out at April's high. And we're not quite back up to those major highs from early March in the winter wheats. Spring wheat has taken out those highs quite a while ago, in fact. And indeed, yesterday's high was a new contract high. So we're still continuing to work our way higher in spring wheat as that market struggles to get the crop planted. North Dakota is way behind on plantings, and it's looking like, we're getting closer and closer to being able to take prevent plant. So the market is trying to keep those acres intact and probably will continue to hold those gains until we see a break in the weather. And that does not appear to be coming anytime soon. It's still cool and wet across the northern plains, but it does look like the Midwest, most of the Midwest, especially the eastern Midwest, which has been wet, it's going to dry down, get some warmer temperatures, see some open days, and we should get quite a bit of field work done. So we expect to see a big chunk of corn and soybeans get planted here over the next week, week and a half. And spring wheat and the northern plains and those spring crops there are still going to be lagging. In the progress report, we have all spring wheat planting at 27%, which is down 20 points from the average. Montana's running ahead of the pace at 50%. That is 6 points ahead of the pace. But North Dakota is only at 8%. That's 29 points behind the average. Corn planting at 22% is 28 points behind the average. Illinois is only 15% planted. That's 43 points behind the average. North Dakota is only at 1%. That's 17 points behind the average. In soybean plantings, we're at 12% planted, that is 12 points behind the average. But again, with open weather coming, we should get caught up pretty fast, especially in the heart of the Midwest. And again, Northern Plains still going to be lagging. It just looks like we're not going to see a lot of progress across the northern tier. In other weather news, we've got the southern plains, especially the western part of the plains, has not received any of the moisture that the broader region has, especially the further east you go. They've had some decent rainfall, and even some areas in the panhandles of Texas and Oklahoma. But the western central plains, especially southwest Kansas, they're talking insurance guys are already zeroing out fields. They've had not only drought, but wicked winds just all winter, all spring, just beating the crop up, and producers have had to chisel a lot of their fields just to keep it from blowing. So pretty serious situation there. Excuse me, we're not going to get much production out of that region at all. In other weather news, we've got the Europeans. The European continent has trended dry. We've talked about that quite a bit. Looks like the next 2 weeks are going to remain dry for them. This is going to become a serious situation fairly quickly if they don't get some rains at least showing up in the forecast. So I think while the open weather here in the United States is pressuring corn and beans because we're finally going to get some planters going, when you look at the broader northern hemisphere, there's a few areas with some weather problems. Here in the U.S., of course, for hardwood winter wheat, the Europeans, we're looking at the Middle East is extremely dry. India, which had been looked to be kind of a savior for the wheat market, has suddenly become a much less reliable component of the export market. And that was kind of the acceleration of wheat here a week and a half ago. And since then, we haven't heard a lot from them. But the general assumption is that they're not going to be able to supply near the amount of wheat that was assumed here just a month ago. We were looking at 10 to 12 million tons exports. I think we'll be lucky to see 5. And there are some of the private estimates suggesting that they could actually become a net importer of wheat, which obviously means they're not going to be exporting anything. So a big turn of events there, and it's a major deal for the wheat market because they were being relied upon to supply some wheat that was missing from the Black Sea. And the Black Sea, of course, isn't improving. The war is not improving. Ukraine, bless their hearts, so, you know, farmers are out there seeding. They're over 50% done planted, which is impressive on its own. But, you know, they've got a lot of challenges ahead. Exports, they're trying to get wheat over to Poland, grain over to Poland, into Romania to go to those export markets. And it's working, but it's slow. And so they're unfortunately seeing some of their crop deteriorate, especially grain that was already in a vessel, but it's sitting in the port because they are unable to get it out of the Black Sea, as as the blockades have stopped any ship movement. So that's slowing down their exports significantly. Russia, on the other hand, still had a good 7 or 8 million tons of wheat to export. They're leaking it out. They're getting it out, but it's slow. And the new crop, so far from what we're seeing, could be a monster crop, could be a huge one. So that will be interesting to see how they proceed. Are they going to seriously discount the price and work around the sanctions, or are they going to be stuck holding it for a while? That's a few months down the road, but you know, the war's not ending anytime soon. So it's going to be, I think, pretty interesting to see how that goes. And I will say that if and when the war does end, it's probably going to become pretty bearish for wheat. You know, you're going to see Russia let loose. Now, of course, the sanctions have to be released, but I think at some point, you know, Putin is gone, the war ends, and there's Russia sitting with just a mountain of wheat to move. That's going to become pretty bearish, but that has not happened yet, but that's just something to keep in mind down the road. So we're looking at this long-term bull market in wheat, which still has serious bullish fundamental underlying support to it. We're headed into harvest here fairly quickly for the United States, and that's probably going to pull this market back. We're also looking at very poor conditions for the winter wheat crop, the hard red winter wheat in particular. The condition ratings out yesterday afternoon show that Texas 77% poor to very poor. That is unchanged on the week. Good to excellent is at 7% good. That's down one. We're at 76% headed in Texas, which is 4 points behind the average. In Oklahoma, we're 47% good to excellent. Poor to very poor. That's down four. 20% good to excellent is up three. 60% headed, down 21 points of the average. In Kansas, we're at 37% poor to very poor. That's down two. 28% good to excellent is up three. 30% headed, down 4 points from the average. In Colorado, 58% poor to very poor, which is up one. 11% good is down one. Nebraska sitting at 31% poor to very poor. That's down eight. 33% good to excellent is up eight. In Montana, we're at 39% poor to very poor. That's down 10 on the week. 13% good to excellent is up 1. So you can see where crop condition ratings have improved a little bit, not a lot, for hard red winter wheat. I think we're pretty close to kind of honing in on what our crop is going to be. The crop tour is next week, so they'll kind of put some numbers to these crop conditions. You know, we don't expect to find anything really out of southwest Kansas, and then it's just a matter of what the rest of it brings. So again, we're looking for these grains to be putting in a high in early May. It's possible they already did that, and it's possible yesterday was the day. I was thinking it'd be more closer to the crop report, but you know, we're only a couple days away from that. It's on Thursday, so perhaps we have found that high yesterday. I'm holding out. We'll still get another look at the major high from early March, but you know, the market's taking a long time to get there, and it's running out of energy. It's just expending a lot of its bullish resources, just kind of moving sideways to slightly higher. Corn and beans have started to break down. You could still, from a technical standpoint, argue that you could still have that one more push up, but I think you'll have to get a bullish crop report on Thursday to do that. And for corn and beans, you might, but wheat, I think it's going to be tough to get a bullish report for domestic wheat. For world, maybe. It depends on what USDA does with India, what they do with the EU, which I doubt will be very much, because these India news stories have started happening since May 1, and this crop report will pretty much be as of May 1. So the market, I think, is kind of bracing for a neutral to negative crop report, and then we'll take it from there. But the fundamentals in corn are still quite bullish as well. You do have stressful conditions in the Brazil second season corn crop. You've got very slow plantings here in the U.S. We're going to have an open window here to get a lot done, but still it's going in pretty late. And of course, today, May 10th, is the day where you start seeing yield drag, one bushel a day, but that's not going to show up on the crop report either. So I think with corn, you just don't have any feed wheat available, not only here in the U.S., but worldwide, to supplement corn yield losses. And any hint of that during the growing season sends this market sharply higher, because again, last year we had a weather scare early, but we had a lot of wheat around, and a great deal of hard red winter wheat went straight from the combine to the feedlots. You're not going to see that this year. The market is way overpriced over than corn. So keeping that in mind, we don't have a buffer for feed grain like we did last year. So I think for the next few days, we probably pay sideways, get this crop report behind us. If we don't see any sign that the market is kind of recovering to the upside, getting a little bit of a boost, then probably have to declare that the highs were already put in for corn and beans, and that came a little early. That would have been late April. And for wheat, it's possible yesterday was the day, but we'll see what kind of action we get today. Wheat is trying to pull itself higher on the night session. Not a lot of energy to it, but it is coming up for air. And the Dow, the future, the stock market is finding a bounce too. The heavy pressure the last couple of days in the stock market has created widespread liquidation. But I think getting a breather here in the stock market could help the grains today as well. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.